My friends, I mean to speak to you in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I learned early to fear the teeth of wolves. Well, I mean, it was kindergarten. And there was a play that was The Three Little Pigs. And the wolf, I think he was 6 years old, and I was five. And he huffed and he puffed, and he blew down the house of us little pigs, first the straw and then the hay, or maybe it was sticks. Wolves, you know, they're crafty, or at least the ones in fairy tales. There's not just the three little pigs, but of course Red Riding Hood. You know, she goes off to see her grandma, and the wolf tricks her, runs ahead and eats the grandma, and then swallows little Red Riding Hood whole, and it's only the hunter who comes along and lets them escape from the wolf's belly, right? Wolves, they're dangerous. But, of course, as you grow up, you find out that wolves are not the only danger. There are all kinds of dangers out there, people dangers and natural dangers, but especially people. In Scripture, the leaders, when they're terrible, are compared to wolves. In Ezekiel, it says its officials within it are like wolves tearing the prey, shedding blood, destroying lives to get dishonest gain. And not only were the leaders compared with wolves, actually, even the shepherds in Scripture in the Old Testament are sometimes the danger. Of course, it's the leaders again. The leaders of Israel who were supposed to take care of the people, take care of all of God's people, but instead, God said in Ezekiel, you eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak, you have not healed the sick, you have not sought the lost. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And scattered, they became food for the wild animals. All kinds of dangers, of course, to people and to God's people. Wolves and bad shepherds, it turns out. All sorts of forces that blow our houses down, that threaten us, to destroy us, that seek us out, that use cleverness. And the pigs might decide to build brick houses. That was the solution there, right? And the three little pigs. Ours was cardboard. But it didn't fall down. The pigs might decide to build brick homes to defend themselves by outmaneuvering the wolf. But sheep need a defender. Sheep need a defender, a shepherd whose purpose it is to lead and protect the sheep. A little over a week ago, I visited a sheep camp in Navajo land. Navajo land is an area that takes in part of Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico. It's an area the size of West Virginia. And in it, about three times as many people as live in Waco live there. Okay, so it's like all the people, three times as many as people in the Waco, but spread out over an area the size of West Virginia. There are 13 grocery stores. So I visited a sheep camp in Navajo land. I'd gone to Navajo land on pilgrimage with a couple of other bishops to see the Episcopal Church in Navajo land, to experience their ministries and their culture, and to understand the needs of the Episcopal Church's mission there. Sheep are central to the life of the Navajos and have been for centuries. They're central to their life in that they're a food source and a source for wool, but they're also sacred in the sense that they're considered the gift from God or from the gods, the gift of life, and they're like siblings in a way, sharing in the life of the people. In the recent years, about the last almost 100 years, grazing limits mean that for most Navajo families, they either can't herd sheep at all or they can't have enough sheep to sustain a family. And so having sheep, not just to feed when you can't get to a grocery store, but also for the celebrations, for a funeral or a wedding or something else, there aren't enough sheep. So the owner of this sheep camp is named Cornelia, and Cornelia cares for her sheep. She knows her sheep. And during the pandemic, she had hired a shepherd, but she lost her shepherd during the pandemic, had to go home to care for family members. And so while Cornelia was working in Farmington in order to make enough to sustain herself and her family, she would drive out to her sheep camp about 45 minutes each morning and let the sheep out of their corral and put the water out for them. And they would roam around while she went to work. And she'd come back at the end of the day, driving out there again 45 minutes, and go into the crevices and the canyons to gather all the sheep in. You couldn't leave them out there because there's coyotes, other predators, who would destroy the sheep. She is a shepherd who cares for her sheep. She knows to count her sheep to make sure all of them have been found and brought home. She cares for her sheep, and she goes with her truck to haul the water because there's no running water, no electricity at the sheep camp. She knows to give the sheep corn, which they love, but not too much because they'll eat it until they bloat, and that will hurt them too. Cornelia goes and keeps the sheep out of the territory where the coyotes run. You see, all of this is necessary because sheep need a defender who will stay with them when the wolf comes or when the predator attacks. Sheep need a shepherd, not a hired hand who will run away. For the sheep, the best defense against the predators is the presence of the shepherd and the support of the flock. Now, all through Scripture, the people of God are referred to as a flock, as the sheep of God's hands. Our life depends on the protection of a shepherd who laid down his life for us to save us. And we are better when we are with the flock and have the care of the shepherd. Now pastor means shepherd, not same word. Like the leaders of God's people in Scripture, who were both religious and political leaders, different from us now, but like those leaders in Scripture, they were supposed to care for the flock. Pastors, you all hear me around here? You got several of them in this congregation. Pastors are supposed to care for the flock. Now, bishops, as Father Aaron said earlier, bishops carry the sign of the shepherd. We call it a crozier, but it's a shepherd's crook. Mine is a K-sized crozier. If you've been around when Bishop Doyle has come with the Diocese of Texas crozier, it's this big and brass and weighs 40 pounds. Not so mine. Mine is a K-sized crozier. It was made for me by a man in England who makes walking sticks and shepherd's crooks. And he makes shepherd's crooks for shepherds to use in tending their sheep. But this handle is made of buffalo horn, as Aaron said, not an American bison, but a water buffalo, because you can't do this with an American bison horn. A shaft of hawthorn wood that he gathers out of his allotment behind his house. But when he made it for me and I met with him, he said to me that I should not use this crozier on sheep at speed. You can imagine, see, this because the handle is separate from the shaft, that if I use it on one of you were running away from me and I tried to stop you, it could come apart. It might hurt somebody. And you might also guess that it probably shouldn't be used on a wolf or a coyote either. It's not strong enough to really defend anyone from a predator. You see, it's made like a shepherd's tool, but not to be deployed in a real crisis. There's no salvation here, right? Because I'm not the good shepherd. You see, for all of the talk and the decor, I and other bishops and even pastors have to remember that I am not the good shepherd. We are not the good shepherd. Pastors serve, bishops serve at the invitation of the good shepherd, but have to guard against acting like wolves or hired hands, running away at the first sign of danger, or consuming the flock for our own needs. Shepherding and the service of pastors. Shepherding is only helpful when it conforms to the model of the good shepherd, which is the model that brings life to the flock, to the sheep. In the book of Ezekiel, after all of the words against the bad shepherds, the Lord, through Ezekiel, says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. That's what shepherds are supposed to do. And that's God's promise to us in sending the good shepherd. In John's gospel, we hear that the distinctive characteristic of the good shepherd is that he lays down his life for the sheep. He holds nothing back. That's the gospel message. We read it in all four gospels, that Jesus lays his life down for people like us, for us. And even further, he lays his life down and can take it up again. By his life, he gives life that never ends. You see, the good shepherd is uniquely and distinctively God incarnate in Jesus Christ. Jesus is absolutely one with the Father and gives his life on the cross in order that we might have life. And so, bishops and all Christian disciples can only approximate the good shepherd. And that is our call and our privilege, my friends. My call and my privilege, and yours too. To stand with and defend the flock when the wolves attack, instead of acting like the hired hand who runs away, or the false shepherds who consume the sheep for their own benefit, or the wolf which scatters and consumes. The first letter of John picks up this theme. We read it just a few minutes ago. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for each other. First John goes on, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. This is our call. In following the good shepherd, to be like the Good Shepherd, lay down our lives for one another. Now, John does not imagine universal Christian martyrdom, but love in action and deed, like sharing what we have and helping all, being open-handed, giving for the good of those in need, giving for the good of one another. Cornelia, the shepherd. Remember Cornelia in Navajo land? Cornelia, the shepherd, is also the canon to the ordinary in the Episcopal Church in Navajo land, the person who's the assistant to the bishop, one of their priests. And Cornelia, sheep camp is not her primary work. She goes around the whole Episcopal Church's ministry in Navajo land to care for the priests, to care for the people, to make sure they have what they need and to empower them for their ministries. And through her work, she helps the church minister to children who struggle with literacy, to families who need the support of the church to learn about diabetes and health, to go to those people who go to the church seeking the food that they can't buy in a nearby grocery store. And Cornelia, from her flock, gives sheep to families suffering from death, for the feast at the funeral, to couples who are getting ready to get married, for the feast at their wedding. You see, Cornelia cares for her flock in the model of the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for us. Sheep camp is not her primary work, but it reminds her and those like me who visit her the sacred responsibility of helping others with their human needs and introducing them to the Good Shepherd who can keep the wolves at bay. Let us, my friends, enter into this work following the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for us. Let us also give of ourselves to share his life with others. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.